Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage.
Myra Uribe has represented Orange County's District 3 in the County Commission since 2018. The commissioner has thrown her hat in the ring to run for Orange County mayor, a position that has been held by Jerry Demings, who is being termed out of the role after 2 4-year terms. In most cases, this would be a straightforward campaign of a politician seeking higher office. Uribe's term expires in January of 2028, but to allow voters to replace her, she would have to resign 28 months before the end of her term. Otherwise, the position will be filled by an appointment at the governor's discretion. In order to give the residents of Orange County a chance to replace her, Uribe would have to submit a letter of resignation today, with the intention of leaving office on August 1st. Uribe has indicated she is committed to holding the commission seat until December 7th of this year. On Tuesday of this week, Uribe submitted that letter of resignation, stating that she will leave the seat in December. This decision has left Orange County Democrats wondering why Uribe's decided to delay her resignation, and they are concerned this could place a DeSantis appointee on the Orange County Commission. Joining us to break down the impacts of Uribe's decision and to provide a broader look at the Orange County mayor's race are Angel De La Portilla, president and government consultant with Central Florida Strategies, and Ryan Gillespie, government reporter with the Orlando Sentinel. And Angel, I'd like to start with you. Why did Myra Uribe delay this resignation?
Okay, well, first of all, the resign to run law has been in place for a decade or even longer. The law in 2021 was amended, whereas now the vacancy becomes effective on the date that the candidate puts on the resignation. So in Uribe's case, by law, she's allowed to stay until the day before the position that she is seeking gets sworn in, which is on December 8th. Therefore, she's allowed to remain in office until December 7th. That's a decision that she made, that she was planning on doing that all along, when she first decided to run for mayor, as I understand it. And also, as she has stated to the press, a county commissioner has important votes to make over the summer months, particularly on the county budget. There's also discussions of probably having another tourist development tax advisory committee, and then those recommendations will go to the board. So between the months of July through October, November, there's a lot of important items, budget items, that go in front of the county commission. Commissioner Uribe's decision is based on she feels that it's important for her to represent her constituents during these votes.
Ryan, Uribe seems unconcerned about DeSantis appointing her replacement. Last week, she told the Orange County Democrats, quote, "We're a Democrat board. We're the majority. Even if DeSantis, heaven forbid, appoints one, we're still the majority." Should Orange County Democrats be concerned?
Yeah, I don't know if Myra was unconcerned. I talked to her a week ago or a week and a half ago about this decision, because really nobody knew until, say, maybe 3 weeks ago that this was even a situation. Myra Uribe didn't know. Orange County Democrats didn't know. Tiffany Moore Russell, who's also impacted by this, the current clerk of courts who's running for mayor, didn't know either. So this has really developed over the last couple of weeks. And my understanding from talking to Commissioner Uribe is she was sweating this one. She had to do a lot of research. She consulted some lawyers, and it weighed on her quite a bit. But ultimately, unless she changes her mind, she's decided that she's going to stay in office through December and also run for mayor. Should Orange County Democrats be concerned? Yeah, I understand why they are as well. The last time that we had in Orange County that we saw an appointment by the governor take office is when the governor appointed Glenn Gilzean to fill the supervisor of elections role. And there was all sorts of allegations of how he ran that office in terms of spending decisions and whatnot. Certainly he battled with Commissioner Uribe and Mayor Demings and all kinds of people at the county level. So yeah, I mean, if the governor were to appoint somebody, I think it's fair to assume he would appoint a Republican. I will say the Board of County Commissioners is expanding this year by 2 members. Given the demographics of the county, It's probably fair to assume that Democrats will maintain control of the county. So I think you could make a case that an appointee to the Board of County Commissioners, regardless of their political party, an individual member may have less power. But that doesn't mean that there's not concern, because there certainly is from progressives and some other Democrats here.
I do want to address one thing on the appointment process, because in Commissioner Uribe's case, if she decides to go ahead and resign to run and use up the timeline that's allowed by law, it doesn't necessarily mean that Governor DeSantis will make the appointment. Governor DeSantis is termed out. The next governor will take office, I think, on January 5th. So, yes, there'll be 4 weeks left on the governor's term. But what happens if David Jolly or Jerry Demings wins the governor's race? Then that appointment to replace will actually be made by a Democrat. Second, on the Tiffany Moore Russell decision, I mean, if she's resigning to run to allow the election to take place, her resignation will have to be effective September 1st. And then the governor, in this case, Governor DeSantis, will still have, 4 months left in his term. He could choose to fill that position. So there will be an interim clerk appointed between September 1st through January 4th until the next clerk gets sworn in. So there's still a lot of unknowns to take for one party to take a very strong position without really knowing what's the outcome of the elections. I mean, are they giving up on a Democrat being able to win? In fact, there was a poll done last week that showed that David Jolly was ahead of Byron Donalds. It may not be DeSantis that makes the appointment in District 3. It might be another governor. It might be a Democrat.
Stepping away from the politicking, looking at some of the top line issues that the mayor will be facing, obviously, Angel, growth and development in the county. Last year, we saw the state lean on SB 180, the 2023 law that restricts local governments from regulating growth and development in Florida. To what extent will the next mayor have to go head-to-head with the governor and the legislature insofar as managing growth and development in Orange County?
It's extremely important that the next mayor of Orange County, whoever that person is able to develop a normal relationship with the governor and with the legislature. The reason is Orange County is, in terms of revenue, collected in sales tax revenue collected in Florida, we are third in the state after Miami-Dade and Broward. So we are an economic powerhouse. We contribute a significant amount of funds to the state, yet it seems that the governor and the mayor have been at odds, at least for the last 6 years since the COVID years, and as well as the legislature. We've seen time and time again preemption bills filed that impact Orange County. Senate Bill 180 impacted Vision 2050. We weren't able to adopt our comprehensive land use plan in Orange County because of Senate Bill 180. That was not aimed at Orange County. It was aimed at Manatee County, but it impacted Orange because we were impacted by storms. But the next mayor of Orange County will have to have better relations with the governor's office, as well as with the Florida House and Florida Senate, to ensure that these type of preemption bills are not filed that impact Orange County. And secondly, that we get a better, more proportionate share of funding. Even though we're third in sales tax collection, we look at the large counties where we rank dead last in the amount of appropriations that come back to Orange County. So the next mayor has to have better relations with Tallahassee as a whole to ensure that bills are not passed that impact our growth adversely, as well as we can get more funding for projects here in Orange County.
Ryan, Angel had mentioned a gap in funding distribution among the counties. Last year, Mayor Demings walked back a proposed ballot initiative that would have placed a penny tax to fund local infrastructure projects. He said that the hike was poorly timed, given the state of the consumer economy. Is that funding buck going to be passed for local projects onto the next mayor? And what kind of growth issues will that new mayor deal with in the face of this currently precarious economy?
Yeah, so Mayor Demings ran actually 8 years ago on the idea of passing a penny sales tax for transportation. Orange County, for being a giant tourism destination that's also a giant population center, has a severely lacking transit system. We don't have trains everywhere. We have buses that are underfunded and don't have a funding source, and they're late, and all kinds of stuff. He didn't get that done. I think he would probably tell you that that'll be one of the marks against his resume when he's done. He tried multiple times, got it on the ballot once, and voters pushed it down. But the thing to keep in mind with that is there's this looming grenade out there of what will the governor and the legislature do this summer in terms of property tax reform. It's almost certain that we will learn about that soon in the coming months. I believe the deadline is something like the end of July to get it on the ballot. And Governor DeSantis has said there will be something on the ballot. There are hoops to jump through to actually make that happen. But his intent, and it seems to be the legislature's intent, that some form of property tax rollback will be on the ballot. Does that mean counties won't be able to collect any property tax on homesteaded properties? That's a huge funding loss for governments. That would probably be the most aggressive proposal that comes forward. So the next mayor was going to have to deal with whatever that fallout is. And that does bleed down. You know, that money goes toward everything from how government is funded to transportation, to parks, to libraries, to basically any core service that the county offers. So that will be, if approved by the voters, probably the number one thing an incoming mayor will be dealing with on day one.
Certainly, some of the rhetoric that we have heard on property tax reform and some of the legislation that made its way through the House is really concerning, because there is no plan to replace the lost revenue that governments face from reduction or elimination of property taxes. So as Ryan mentioned, that is the looming grenade out there. If they do property tax reform, it's got to be approved by the voters at 60%. Any type of constitutional amendment will need support from the voters. And I'm hearing that it's polling very high. It's polling in the high 60s. But then, you know, you're basically, you have about 1 year, because the legislature in 27 will then enact policies on how to implement the property tax reform that had been approved by the voters. So yes, it could have a significant impact on not only Orange County, the city of Orlando, all the municipalities, and just about every local government in Florida will be impacted. So that remains to be seen how that will drive discussions over the campaign and certainly leading into November.
I do want to address Orange County's relationship with ICE insofar as cooperation with apprehensions, detentions, and deportations of undocumented immigrants. Last month, the Orange County Commission voted unanimously to remove ICE from its intergovernmental service agreement. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings had tried unsuccessfully to negotiate a detention reimbursement with the federal government. Obviously, this doesn't close the book on this issue. What could Demings' replacement expect insofar as a battle with ICE and the federal government over ICE detentions in Orange County?
Yeah, so much of this flows down from, you know, the highest levels of power in the country. So from the president's office on down. And so when you consider that the new mayor will be coming into office after the midterm elections, when polling indicates that there's probably a decent likelihood that Democrats seize some power in Congress, and, you know, off the back of essentially the unpopularity of some of the president's immigration reform push, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays in the final 2 years of a Trump administration. He can't run for re-election again. So kind of the power of that will be interesting. And then when we flow on down to the governor's office, over the last 2 years, Governor Ron DeSantis has sought to position Florida as the president's top ally in immigration enforcement. You know, the most detentions in the country are in the state of Florida. So what does the next governor think? Yeah, I guess it depends on who that person is. Byron Donalds is the leader in the clubhouse, the Republican congressman who is endorsed by Donald Trump. So you can take a guess on kind of his position there. But David Jolly is a Democratic contender and congressman, and Mayor Jerry Demings here in Orange County is certainly in the race as well as some other Republicans. So I think that person's policies will slow on down, because essentially Orange County's hand has been forced in a lot of this stuff by state law. So then, of course, the next county mayor will have to decide how aggressive they want to be in working with or not working with ICE. Certainly, Mayor Demings has followed the law. I think he would tell you he's done the things he's required to do by law, but he's put some red lines in the sand in terms of putting a cap on how many people can be detained in the jail without criminal charges. This will be a thing that they are asked about by voters all over the county in the coming months. And it'll be interesting to see the positions and maybe if there are differences between how these candidates, mostly Democrats, respond and what their policy thoughts are on this matter.
To add to that, as Ryan mentioned, there's a fiscal impact here that has not been recaptured by Orange County. The county pays $180 per detainee Yet the federal reimbursement is only at $88 a day. So the county is owed money from the federal government, as is the state. The state has made a significant amount of investors. There's a immigration detention facility in South Florida called Alligator Alcatraz that the state spent over $600 million to develop and operate that facility. I read recently that the state had not been yet reimbursed by the federal government. That's a significant amount of money. So as far as the agreements, I think the holding, allowing the county to recoup the money that they have spent on detaining illegal immigrants, I think that should be a priority.
And Angel, as we approach the back nine of this race, to what extent will this be a campaign point, and how much of this campaign will be focused on matters of affordability, education?
But I think that issue is sort of winding down. It's not a dominant issue as it was earlier in the year and into last year. I think we're seeing fewer ICE detentions and all that. I think things have calmed down a bit. The economy and the affordability in Orange County, whereas we have a large tourism industry and a tourism-based economy. I think 46% of the jobs in Orange County are tied to tourism. But that's also made it difficult for folks that work in hospitality, especially on the front lines, to be able to afford to live in Orange County. Orlando and Orange County had become one of the most expensive housing markets in the country, both in cost of homes per sale and also cost to rent have increasing significant over the last several years, certainly since post-pandemic. So increasing the inventory of available housing is important. Using our Affordable Housing Trust Fund to incentivize and develop more affordable housing opportunities for residents and workers here in Orange County is critical. So I think those are the issues, is really dealing with affordability, because it impacts everybody. It impacts visitors. We could see fewer visitors because it's getting more expensive to travel with rising fuel costs and airfares and things like that. So we could see a little bit of an economic decline over the summer if tourism slows down.
And before we go, I wanted to ask both of you, as Jerry Demings wraps up his time in office. Ryan, I want to start with you. What is one of the most memorable accomplishments of Mayor Demings in that role?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of important to take a step back when you think of Jerry Demings. I was doing this earlier this morning. If you look at like the last 25 years of Central Florida history, he's arguably one of the most consequential figures in it. He was Orlando's first African-American police chief. He happened to be in that role on 9/11. Then he became the county's first African-American sheriff and constitutional officer. And he was in that role during Pulse, which was probably the darkest day in county history. And then he became the county's first African-American mayor and led that county through a pandemic. You know, you can quibble whether he did that well or not well. It depends on probably your political opinion there. But this is a guy who's broken all kinds of barriers in this region and has been in a position of power and influence through some of the most consequential events in this county's history. So I think that's certainly one of them, is just kind of who he is in our history. Like I said earlier, I think he would maybe tell you that his one of his biggest regrets is he wasn't able to get the penny sales tax across the finish line, which was one of his major campaign points when he ran so many years ago. I think he might be remembered by a lot of people here as for his maybe willingness to battle with Governor Ron DeSantis on everything from their differences in pandemic policy, when to reopen the public and how to do so, to then battling with him on immigration and ICE to the point of being threatened to be removed from office. So I think there's a lot there, and I think his legacy will kind of be dependent on your political viewpoint, but there's no denying kind of his place in this region's history.
Just to echo what Ryan said, he kept us safe during the pandemic. He's a very good crisis manager, and I'll always remember Mayor Demings with his daily press conferences during the COVID years when we were all watching at home, and his job as Orange County mayor is to keep us safe, keep those cases from increasing, and be able then to slowly reopen the economy.
Be a lot more to talk about in the coming months. Ryan Gillespie, government reporter with the Orlando Sentinel. Angel De La Portilla is the president and government consultant with Central Florida Strategies. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Richard.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.